Good evening. Welcome back to another episode of the Hitchcock Minute. Each week, Movies by Minute's hosts examine the 1959 Alfred Hitchcock-directed thriller North by Northwest. 1 minute of screen time per episode. This is Minute 119, quite possibly the greatest James Mason Minute ever. I'm Jeff Ferry from the Jay and Silent Bob Minute.
And I'm Chris Derkach, also from the Jay and Silent Bob Minute.
And I'm Doug, and I'm from Good Times Great Movies.
Welcome aboard, Doug. You've got another action-packed minute for us here.
Listen, I'm happy to be here. I don't care. A minute of boring Hitchcock is better than a minute of perhaps another show or another movie we talked about just a few minutes ago.
Well, listen, any minute that involves Cary Grant, James Mason, Eva Marie Saint, and Martin Landau, I'm pretty happy with.
Yeah, Martin Landau, not quite looking like the Crypt Keeper yet, but you can see it coming. You can see that in his eyes.
Oh, yeah. He was 80 years old for 35 years.
Oh, my God. At least.
And here, in this scene, he could be 30 or 57. I'm not sure. It could be either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could say either one. I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. If I told you he was like 29, you'd be like, wow, I didn't expect that. But like, I see it. But if I told you he was 51, you'd be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Speaking of which, as we're doing the age thing, how old do you think Cary Grant is in this?
Oh, boy. Hold on. Let me.
I mean, you can only see his eyes.
Say, let me scroll over to where I get. Let me skip around so I can
how
see
old do you
the top.
How old do you think Cary Grant's eyes are?
All right, well, he doesn't have crow's feet.
Right, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at his forehead and very smooth. There's like one wrinkle there. I mean, he has to be. I might go a little high here. I'm going to say 54.
You nailed it. He is 54 years old.
Money. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I knew I should go high. He doesn't look 54. I mean, he looks magnificent.
The man had his shirt off all last week.
You guys brought me on for the wrong minute.
We were keeping shirtless all to ourselves.
I know. I get to see I don't know if it's a stunt. Cary, I'm not sure what's happening at the beginning, but I only see the top of his head. It's not great.
Oh, Spider Cary. Yeah, you get Spider Cary Grant.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I think Cary Grant, he could have played early 60s Spider-Man.
Oh.
For some reason, I'm 50 years old and I'm in college.
We would have accepted it. It would have been okay.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, that was back when nobody gave a damn about comic books. It would just been like, whatever.
Right, it'd be like this Spider-Man? All right.
If you say so. Yeah, the only thing, you just get to stare lovingly into Cary Grant's eyes for like half this minute because he's climbed up the weird Frank Lloyd Wright looking house.
Yeah.
To spy on James Mason, Mr. Van Damme, to see what he's up to.
Well, you don't even really get to look into his eyes because he's looking wildly all over the place as though he's not seeing what we're seeing.
He's not even looking into the same room.
No. He pops his head up and just veers wildly around. Like, I don't know where those voices are coming from. I'm not sure who those people are. Where am I? It's pretty great.
Which makes it even better when they show the actual scene and there's not much happening, and it's happening very slowly. So what is he looking at?
No.
It's like the rooms he's looking at is completely different. It's like there's, you know, there are guys running around, and there's seven dogs in there, and they're jumping around. And then you look in, and it's just James Mason walking with Eva Marie Saint.
Yeah. Just talking.
The other guy didn't even show up yet.
Oh, this is, what is this, about, two or three weeks, Chris, after the shooting incident at the Mount Rushmore Visitor Center?
Yeah.
So this is her explaining it to him of just like, oh, I just don't know what happened. I just shot a man in the chest in front of 50 witnesses. I'm sorry if that could have put a little crimp in your style.
And James Mason's so cool. He's like, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm James Mason.
Oh, my God. James Mason is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Oh,
there's
my God.
There's nothing cooler than when somebody says rubbish. Rubbish.
Yeah. There's but something like, where if I was being murdered by James Mason, I'd probably be okay with it. Like, this isn't going to hurt.
It's like, you don't mind if I just choke you to death, do you? You're like, I am on board with that, I guess.
Like, choking? Yes, please, James Mason.
What is your experience? What is your experience with James Mason movies? I mean, because he is an actor of a time
he's
before us, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he's all over the place. I really do just think of him more as a character actor. I know that he has he is a star, but I really do feel like I've seen him most in these types of roles, these sort of smaller villain roles, you know, second build, maybe third build. I haven't really seen him as the hero a whole lot.
For me, he lives and starts with Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, man.
And I realize most people's probably more of, what's it, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, Lolita, that's really what I think of him from, in that he's kind of the hero in there, but nobody's really the hero.
Yeah, I was going to say, gotta be careful using the word hero around that movie.
Okay, all right.
The protagonist, maybe?
Even that's a stretch, I think.
Yeah.
He's the character we follow, let's say. Yes. I think that's the nicest way to say it.
Yeah, well, at least he's got a woman who's only half his age in this movie.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, he does have a very... For the people in this movie, man, we got Cary Grant and James Mason, two of the most distinct speaking styles of their time.
And somehow when Jeff does impersonations, they both sound exactly...
They sound the same. I can't... Because they start wandering into each other. It's just... If you can't do accents, they end up being the same one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought your James Mason was really, really good. Your Cary Grant, not so much, I'm going to say.
Well, I tried to do a whole intro as Cary Grant.
And wait, was that today? Because I thought
it was not. Mason. It was not.
Okay, all right.
I did it a couple days ago, and I was running out of steam like two sentences in.
All right.
Jeff's Cary Grant sounds a lot like Jeff.
It sounds like me trying to put on a Mid-Atlantic accent, trying to deaden my New Jersey right. accent.
I like to make fun of Jeff's impersonations because I don't do any at all. So I like.
Yeah, because you're a coward because you don't do any impersonations.
Come on, you gotta try.
If I have any, like, if there's one you can do, like James Mason, Cary Grant, it's like, do a Martin Landau impersonation. Like, I don't know. Like, the Crypt Keeper? I don't know.
In this movie, you just stand there and smoke a cigarette, so.
Yeah. Just stand over there and look intimidating, even though you really shouldn't, but, like, I am afraid of him.
I do see his cheekbones are starting to, like, protrude a little bit and stuff in this one. He's young, though, in this.
Yeah, it's weird. He's got, like, the body of like a lanky grandfather. It's not intimidating, but he's a scary looking dude, and he's super tall too.
Yeah, he doesn't look scary in the way of like, man, this guy looks like he could physically, like, he's not like buff or built. He just looks like if he had to kill you, it would not bother him in the least.
Right. Exactly. Like, you look at him and it's like, well, he can't beat me to a pulp, but there's a good chance that he's strapped a bomb to my car.
Yeah. And when my car detonates, the most important thing to him will be to make sure he doesn't get any on his shoes.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. This set is gorgeous. Like, I love the oversized fireplace and whatever's on that wall. I kept thinking it was a clock, like a weird sun clock.
It's like
I
a think sunburst. That's
just decoration.
Yeah, I don't know what.
And
it is.
I love it so much.
It's so big and gaudy, but it is cool.
Yep.
They just told the decorator to get in there and just be like, just do whatever you want. Just outfit it like a very rich weirdo lives here.
Oh, yeah.
The right hand corner underneath of that, there's like a devil pencil holder or something. Do you mm-hmm. see that? It's crazy looking.
Is that holding a pencil? Is that holding something?
It's holding
something?
A pen, I think.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, because when the camera cuts and it's closer, the pen is there. You can tell it's holding it.
It's very weird.
Oh, that's awesome. And, like, the curtains are, like, super starchy. Like, they look like they're just...
They're standing on their own.
Yeah. This is wild. I love this old, like, 50s, 60s decor. Nobody looks comfortable. Everybody's running around in suits. Nothing about this looks like you should just sit down ever.
Yeah, well, and they're getting on a plane in 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Martin Landau's not, but like Van Damme and Eve are, and she's in a formal dress. You know, he's got a three-piece suit on. He's got like a vest. I mean, technically it's not buttoned, so I guess he's casual. You know, it's not buttoned all the way up. That's as casual as it got in 1959. That's like, I've got this unbuttoned. See, now I rolled into Cary Grant. See, they're too close. James Mathan's all in the back of the mouth. It's got to be all teeth.
Oh, is that the trick?
That's been my favorite thing of when we go to listen to the Hitchcock Minute is I can't wait to see everybody try to do their Cary Grant and James Mason impersonations.
I can't wait, too. I'm not listening to it yet. I'm actually going to wait and catch up, but...
I love this. Can we talk generally about Hitchcock? Like, I don't know what sort of experience you
have. There's no rules here. Just go for it.
No, I'm just wondering how you feel, or do you have a favorite of his films, or any that you've returned to multiple times? Like, where does this one lie? Or if it's a big no, you can just say no. That's fine.
I see. Now, I love Hitchcock.
Yeah.
But he's also one of those people where, have you ever made this deal with yourself? All right, I'm going to sit down next year. I'm going to watch all the Hitchcock movies.
Oh, yeah, I've tried that.
And then you watch like three of them and you're like, I'm not going to watch all the Hitchcock movies. And it's not because they're bad or I don't like them. It's just there's just so many.
It's a lot to take on. Like if you gave yourself a couple years to do it, you could probably do it. Yeah. But that's a big task to take on, because as we were talking before we even started recording, I mean, do you go into the silent era or do you just start with the heavy hitters and you're like, well, all right, I've heard of this title. There are celebrities in this. So maybe this is where I start.
I think the only way to do it is you have to start kind of in the, I would say start around now, about North by Northwest, and kind of head in both directions.
Yep. Yeah.
Like watch, go to Psycho, and then go back to whatever's prior to this. If you go in both directions, you should be good.
Well, if you go in both directions, you'll start hitting bad movies at the same general time.
Yeah.
But some will be really recent and some will be super old.
But I feel like you'll give him a little bit more rope. No pun intended.
Oh, good one. Nice.
if you're already like so on board with it, like you've just watched like 10 classic movies.
Yes. Yes.
And you're like, oh, well, I guess we can just keep moving on with this.
Yeah, I mean, this is when he totally hit his stride and just films I love at this point. Like Rear Window is absolutely amazing. And even if you go into To Catch a Thief or The Trouble with Harry or The Man Who Knew Too Much or something, those are all really good. I mean, I think Vertigo is a masterpiece. It's my absolute favorite film that he made. And I know it's, you know, it's like 2.5 bloated hours, and but I could watch it. I can watch it every year.
Oh, yeah. He has, I'm not sure how many movies he has on the AFI Top 100, but I think he has three, four maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's more than that.
Yeah, hold on. I'll see if I can figure it out. I think the person with the most is Spielberg. I think Spielberg has five.
Really? Okay.
Hitchcock has four.
Okay.
All right, Chris, tell me the four movies he's got up here.
North by Northwest.
Yeah, thank you for your help.
Psycho. Psycho's on there.
Yeah, there you go.
Really? Psycho's on there?
Yes.
Okay, good. Rear Window, because everybody mentions that one.
Yes.
Well, look, I got three out of four. What's the last one? I can't come up with another one.
You want to use Doug as your lifeline?
Yeah, Doug, what's that one you named? I can't think of what it was.
I mean, I was going to say Rebecca, but I guess it's Vertigo.
It's Vertigo.
There okay, we go. Right. Wow, I got three out of four, Jeff. Screw me. Oh, well, I can't
curse. Oh, what were you going to say?
I stopped it.
Careful there, potty mouth. All right, now before we forget, I've been going down. North by Northwest is, oh great, I can't remember where it's at. It's on the list at number... It's number 55 on the current AFI list. It dropped 15 spots from the last time it was on here.
Oh.
I'll tell you, the real kick in the teeth is the movie right above it is MASH, which shouldn't even be on the list. But
I would agree. If you're talking about Altman...
And I like MASH.
MASH isn't even like a top 10 Altman movie.
We've dropped through the list a couple times, going through movies, trying to figure out if we think... they're better or worse than North by Northwest, and we've got up to number 30, so we're gonna jump through like 10 real quick, maybe 15, depending on how we're feeling. All right, you ready, Chris?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, at number 30, a little film called Apocalypse Now.
I think that's where we ended last time, and I said yes, and then you changed my mind.
Yeah, so, well, I think this is better than Apocalypse Now is so. Highly overrated.
I disagree, but
I like it, but it you want to talk about a movie that's bloated.
Well, yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right. Number 29 is Double Indemnity by Billy Wilder.
I would say Double Indemnity is... I don't like it as much as this. It's a good movie, but I don't like it.
I think it should be on the list, but it's been 20 years since I've seen it. Number 28, All About Eve. I'm sorry, Chris. These are movies made, you know, prior to 2000. You probably haven't seen them.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of All About Eve.
I don't remember it enough. Number 27, finally a movie I've seen recently, High Noon.
I like High Noon too.
I don't like High Noon.
I do like High Noon. I don't know that it's the one of the top 100 movies, and if you're going to tell me I only get a handful of westerns, I'm not sure that High Noon's one of the ones I picked.
That is shocking. I find it shocking that High Noon's on there, honestly.
At 27, it's not even just on there. It's gone up six spots.
Crazy.
Yeah, I gotta say, not better than this.
Number 26, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
No. Jeez. Oh, man, I'm really giving a lot of hate to this list. No, I don't like it. It's schmaltzy.
I'm telling you right now, if you ever don't have something to do for your podcast, all you do is just jump on here and go through this list, and there's 100 movies on this list. If you throw out this, there's probably like 10 or 15 I haven't seen or haven't seen in so long, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could throw half this list out.
Really?
Even ones that are up high. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I gotta check that out. Some movies aren't good enough for me to be on the top 100, and some I'm like, I don't even know why this is in the top 1,000.
Yeah.
Number 25, To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's good. I think it's a little bit too high, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, I like it. I think, that one I get. Yeah. That one's good. Here's one that got brought up before, because the next one is a Spielberg movie. There's guys that have 4 or 5 movies on here.
Yeah.
Of like, should they cap how many movies you have? Like, why should Steve? I love Steven Spielberg, but 5 movies, seriously? A top 100 movies?
That's
or 5
great.
Of them Steven Spielberg movies?
I don't even understand how he could have. I have no hate for Spielberg, but I mean, if you put Jaws on here, I'm good. I'm good. Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Well, that's what he said. Fine, Spielberg. I originally said I would cap everybody at 1, but then I was like, all right, maybe I go as high as 2.
Be generous. There you go, 2.
But if I'm going 2, I'm giving him Jaws and Raiders. That's where I'm stopping.
Yeah, I'd say Jaws and Raiders.
But you'll see.
I understand that people can make an argument for Schindler's List, but I wouldn't put it.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of which, here's one I would kick off the list.
Yeah.
Number 24. E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
No,
you were going to say E.T. And I loved E.T. at one time, but it's boring. Are you trying to watch that movie?
See, seething. He's seething.
I 100% almost cursed on this podcast. You got to kick that off. That's terrible.
I'm sorry, but I'm glad I did. I used to like E.T. I tried to watch it with my daughter. It's boring. It's a long, drawn-out movie.
It's fine. The problem is, you want to talk about a movie that is bathe the nostalgia glasses.
Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but if you told me E.T. was 5.5 hours long, I'd believe you.
Number 23, The Grapes of Wrath.
I don't even know that I've ever seen
it. I don't know that I've seen it.
I don't think I have. Either.
I feel like I've seen The Grapes of Wrath, but I saw the one with Gary Sinise, so I doubt that's the one that's on.
That's not is that The Grapes of Wrath, or are you thinking of Mice and Men?
Oh, Mice and Men. That's what I was thinking of Mice and Men. No, but I guess I haven't seen Grapes of Wrath either.
That was another book you were assigned to read when you were in high school.
Yes, yeah. And I pretended to read it.
Number 22, Some Like It Hot.
I watched this again recently. I don't love it the way other people do.
I like it. I don't know that it's on the list for me or not, but where I don't love it is if you ever see like the list of top 100 comedies, it'll be like number 1 or 2. And I'm like, no.
Number 1. Yeah, no. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. It's funny. I watched it with my daughter who's 13. She kind of was into it. And I thought that was really interesting. I was like, wow, that's really fascinating that she liked it. But no, it doesn't do it for me.
Number 21, Chinatown.
Oh, yeah. Chinatown's great. And being that high is not offensive.
Yeah, well, the only thing offensive about Chinatown is the director.
Well, yes.
Number 20, It's a Wonderful Life, another Frank Capra movie.
That movie's good at Christmas time. Don't try to show it to me any other time of the year. It's great at Christmas, and that's it. And I don't think it should be on the list. I'm sorry.
I also think that's a movie that has climbed up this list over the years.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask people in, like, 1960, they'd be like, what? That movie stunk.
Right.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's as high as it is. I'm not shocked that it's on the list at all. But if you told me it was in the 80s, I'd be like, oh, all right, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Number 19, On the Waterfront.
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing, amazing film. A great performance by Brando. It's why anyone knows who Brando is now. It's fantastic. And to be this high, I totally get it.
Yeah, Chris, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender.
Oh, I mean, I know the quote then.
But that's the movie it's from. Number 18.
Speaking of Eva Marie Saint.
Yeah. Number 18. Less lines the quote from this movie. The General from 1926.
I am not one who like just, you know, fawns over silent films and silent comedies. Some of that stuff really does work. The General's fine. I just I feel like it's weird to put things from that span 100 years on a list together. It doesn't feel right that this should be on the same list.
Well, E.T. And if you're going to do it, it's like one of those, I have a hard time being like, there's a bunch of silent films on here. Yes. I'm like, listen, I'll give you like two. Like, you're not, well, we need to have, we want to have Harry Lloyd and we want to have, and Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. No, no, no. You get two.
Yeah. So, I just, and I hate to say it, it should be on a separate list because I don't know where that cutoff is. You know, I think
there's also, we didn't get into them, but there's also weird ones on this list that shouldn't be here because this is the American Film Institute list. And there's stuff on here where I'm like, aren't these British films? Like Lawrence of Arabia is on here. I'm like, I thought that was a British movie.
I don't know.
I don't know how they determine what's American and what's British. I guess if it's really good, we're like, that's ours.
Well, that's what I don't know, too, because on BFI, there's all sorts of American films on there as well.
Yeah. All right. Number 17, The Graduate.
Yeah, I feel like The Graduate's due for a rewatch. I remember really, really enjoying it and then reading about it and loving it even more. But I feel like it's probably been 15, 20 years since I've seen it.
I feel like The Graduate...
close enough where I remember any of it.
Yeah. Yet, so. And I like it, and I think it should be on here. It used to be number 7. It's now at 17. I feel like it could be like in the 30s or 40s probably.
Wow. Yeah. No, that would make sense. I wouldn't have an issue with that.
All right. And the last one we'll do for this little installment, number 16, Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yes. 100%. I would probably put it higher. Love it.
It used to be 12. It went down 4 spots.
Okay.
Since when? When did this stuff go down and up?
This is the second time they made this list. 1998, they made a list, and then in 2007.
Okay.
Wow.
And they haven't made a list since then. The interesting part is if they make another list, that's the one I want to see.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things on here they need to think about again. Also, I don't think there's... So this list came out in 2007. Mm-hmm. Where's the release years? The most... Oh, get the frig out of here. The most recent movie was 2001 that was on there. Oh,
wow. So what was that, 68, 69?
What are you talking about?
Oh my God. I was talking about the movie 2001.
Not the movie 2001. It's also on here, but
okay.
No. The most recent movie was the year 2001.
What was that?
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh my God, take that off this list. I hate this list so much. I hate this list. Take that out of E.T., throw them off, make some room, guys.
I think we need to have we're going to stop there. I think we need to have a separate podcast. We just go through the list and we just curate that list a little bit.
Yeah. We've diverged a little bit from what we were supposed to be talking about
here. Now, speaking of, does anything have anything else this minute? Because not much happens. We're basically getting set up for the escape plan where Eve is going to try to escape with our old pal, Mr. Van Damme. And right before they leave, Leonard walks over to say that he wants to have a word with Mr. Van Damme.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's nothing terrible for Eve.
No, not at all.
In private. Let's have it in private, too. So.
Yeah.
I guess I get to leave this podcast before anything interesting happens in this movie.
Yeah, please get out of here before anything useful to the plot actually happens. At least you got to see, you got to stare into Cary Grant's eyes for the entire
movie. I know, but once you mentioned a towel, it just made me regret.
There was a solid minute of me and Chris trying to talk about whether or not he had on underwear.
Right. We're looking for underwear lines. That's pretty bad.
All right. Does that have anything? That's anybody awesome. Have anything else about this minute?
No, we're good.
All right. I want you to tell people where they can find you, Doug.
Find me at Good Times, Great Movies. Just find that wherever you find podcasts. It is a movie podcast. It's an 80s movie podcast. We don't get out of the 80s, and we kind of have a lot of fun at the movie's expense.
We are the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We're on DuelingGenre.com. We did Clerks 1 minute at a time, Mallrats 1 minute at a time, and we're working our way through Chasing Amy as we speak. That's it. You got anything else, Jeff?
No, but if you want to hear more of this Hitchcock wonderfulness, head over to the Hitchcock Minute podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, over at the main site, HitchcockMinute.com, or one of the other 8,000 podcatchers. You can go to The Man Washing His Nose on Facebook and at Twitter at Hitchcock Minute. I think that's all for now. Somebody take out all this rubbish.
Goodbye, Mr. Thornhill, wherever you are.